St. John, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 18th verse, I wish to read. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Watch that. Then when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, confirm those words to our hearts tonight as we wait on thee now. Thy word, thy servant, and the text is all committed to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. My purpose of being here is to try to help the people of God. Not in so much as to pray, lay hands upon the sick, but that they might recognize Jesus Christ in our midst, the Son of God in our midst. We are speaking tonight on this subject, then Jesus came, called. Now, on this time that we're speaking of, it was a very sad time. If you ever read the story in the life of our Lord, we find out that he was a great friend to this boy, Lazarus. He was, after the going away of Joseph, or he left and come and live with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and they were great friends. He was like a pastor to them, a real friend, and made him little things to wear, a coat to wear, I believe he claimed, and his wool throughout without a seam, and then they had done things for him because they believed in him. It was they believed and had seen that left the church and so forth to follow him. And that was a great thing in that day, which even the penalty of it could be death to go away from it. But Jesus, this fellow that was going around, as they claimed, tearing up their churches and saying evil thing about their priests and so forth, it done a great harm to him, they thought, and to even confessing would been be put out of synagogues. And then if you're out from the church, they thought you had no chance for redemption. If you didn't belong to one of their sects, like Pharisees, Sadducees, or something, there was no redemption if you was outside of that. And if they had the right, the keys, and they could just kick you out if they wanted to, that was their own sin. No wonder Jesus said, you, by your tradition, have made the word of God of no effect. See? And that's repeated again. Because we all know history repeats itself ever so often. And it's sad to say it, but it was prophesied to repeat, and it's done it again. We find that Jesus wasn't well thought of. Many times people want to judge the man who doesn't agree with them. We're not to do that. We could disagree with one another, yet be friendly. If I couldn't disagree with the man and still love him and pray for him and disagree with him upon the basis of the Scripture and for better enlightenment, then I won't say nothing to him. I always want to disagree with him friendly because I love him, and I certainly don't want him to be lost, and he should do the same thing with me. We don't want to be lost. And we must base our thoughts upon what the Word says. Let the Word be true. Not our creed or what our thoughts, but what he says. No private interpretation, just what the Word says. The other night I did something, it seemed sacrilegious almost. I believe it was at a ministerial breakfast in the morning. I put Jesus on a trial. I said, just as they did then, so do they do today. Maybe it'd be good if I repeat it just for a moment, if we have the time. Now, I said, today we find out that in Luther's Reformation, he, in the time of that, he said, the just shall live by faith. The man that believes, that's got it. But we found out many of them said they believed and didn't have it. In the days of John Wesley, if they got the second blessing, they called it sanctification, entire sanctification, they got happy and shouted. Everybody shouted, had it. But they found out they didn't have it. A lot of them shouted and didn't have it. The days of Pentecost, it said, now the restoration of the gifts has come, the baptism of the Spirit. He just speaks in tongues, has got it. You find out that many spoke in tongues and didn't have it. So they say, well, the fruit of the Spirit, that's what it is. Oh, no, not the fruit of the Spirit. Christian Science has that for hardly love. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And they have more love than anybody. And deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Just call him a prophet. Just an ordinary man. See? So that doesn't do it. Let me just question that just a minute. Let's take Jesus on trial. And God forgive me for this statement from the platform. But I'm going to be against him for a minute just to bring you to life. See? I've got you people here tonight. I'm talking to you. It's back in another day when Jesus of Nazareth was on earth. I come to you to reason with you against this fellow, Jesus of Nazareth. Now we all know that God is love. The Bible says he is. All right. And the love of the Spirit is long-suffering, gentleness, patience, meekness, and so forth. Love. Now I say, I want to ask you something. We'll go to take, what were you a Christian? Look at this old priest of yours. His great-great-great-grandfather was a priest. He had to be born in that lineage of Levi to be a priest. We find out, now he doesn't have a young man's life like the rest of you did. What does he do? He sacrifices himself. He's up there to study the Word. The Word of God. He goes through it day and night, has to know every letter of it. Every word on the scroll. He has to know it by heart. It's just something about it that he must know. Now, besides that, when your father and mother was married, who joined together as husband and wife? Your godly old priest. Who was it come to your father when he was needing, had owed some money on his farm, the mortgagers was going to take it? Who stood by him? Your kind old priest. Who stood by your mother in the room there when she's giving birth to you? Kind old priest. Who comes to you when you're sick and needy? Your kind old priest. Who was it blessed you and committed you to God and circumcised you the 8th day? Your kind old priest. When your father and mother's about to divorce, who brought them back together, held them together? Your kind old priest. When he's troubling the neighborhood, who takes care of it? Your kind old priest. Certainly. Now, this kind old priest knows that the Bible says that God requires a lamb for a sacrifice. Many of you men are businessmen. So you don't raise sheep, yet God requires a sheep. They made some stalls up there. They sold their sheep so that the businessman could go up and buy it. Offering a sacrifice for their soul that God requires. What did this young fellow call Jesus? Where did he come from? Said he was born of virgin birth. Who ever heard of such a nonsense thing? We know his mother had him before her and Joseph was born. Or her and Joseph was married. He was born. Now, we find out that he's a bad name to begin with. What membership card does he have? If he was a godly man, what group did he join with? When your priest studied to know that word, here he comes around tearing down what he's built up. Did you call that God? Certainly not. Now, the other day when your priest had made that place up there where he could buy the sacrifice, what did this young fellow do? Kindness. He put some ropes together, some flags and letters, and looked out upon the people with anger, kicked over those tables and beat them out of there. And you call that fruits of the Spirit? Looking upon him with anger, and look, depriving the man of his opportunity to worship Jehovah. The businessman wants to worship him, he don't raise lambs. And he went there to buy it, and he turned it over and kicked him and run him out. Who has the fruit of the Spirit there? See? There you are, see? Not fruit of the Spirit, not speaking in tongues, not shouting. You said then, Brother Branham, what is the evidence? What is the evidence? The vindication of the Word in the hour.
Yes.
They had the Bible. He was exactly what Jehovah said would happen. It don't need any interpretation. It interpreted there. There was your priest. There was all they had and everything else. Just so routine and everything. But yet they failed to see the Word.
Amen.
That's right.
And he made that Word live out to that age. That's the evidence.
Amen.
That age. Luther had the evidence of his age. Wesley of his age. Pentecost of this age, but we're in another age.
Yeah.
Those things are good, but it's like the baby's got a finger, eye, and nose, but after a while he has to become a human being.
Yeah.
You have to become a mature child, then be born. Have a soul, body, spirit, you move around. Now we find out that all this Jesus had declared in just a few, just those who he had ordained to life, saw him. Not great crowds. His crowds can nothing like be like Caiaphas' crowd. Well, Caiaphas is going to call the whole nation together. Jesus called us a few together. Not many knew him. Thousands, times thousands. When he came on the earth, he went through the earth and they never even knew he was here. So would it be again.
Yes.
You'll come to those who are called to life.
Amen.
He knows who's called to life. Yes. And he'll not, it's his business to take care of that. Now we notice that then they'd come out of the church and they believed him. Everything the word had been saying about him, there he was. And one day he left their home. I want to speak of three things. Jesus had left, death had come, and all hopes is gone. I want to speak on those three things for a few minutes. Jesus had left, and when he left, trouble come in. Now, when he leaves you or your home, where you dwell at, trouble's on its road.
Yes.
Satan's got an open door when Jesus leaves. He had gone, and as soon as he did, then death came in. And when Jesus goes out, death comes in. To be separated from him is death. So death come in when Jesus went out. And death had lingered with Lazarus. And then the one that they believed in and loved, they had sent to him to come pray for Lazarus because they'd seen him and know that he knowed God, that whatever God, Martha expressed it back then, whatever thou sayest to God now, God will do it. She recognized that he and God was one. He was the word of the hour. So she recognized that. And she knew if she could ever get in contact with him, but he was gone. And they couldn't get a hold of him. And they sent for him. And instead of him coming, he went on further. And then they sent again. And instead of him coming, he went on further. Sometimes we wonder why those things happen. But doesn't the Scripture say that all things work together for good to them that love God?
Amen.
He knows what he's doing. If he delays, that's all right. He knows what he's doing. It's a purpose. We find out that he said in St. John 5:19, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing." The Father had told him to go away and to be away so many days. After the days was accomplished, then he said, what he said then, that our friend Lazarus sleepeth. And he said, well, he does good. He said, he's dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there. Because they've been trying to get him to go to him to heal him. Or say what had to be done. But he knew what had to be done.
Yeah, yeah.
So he had done just exactly what he was ordained to do, stay away. You notice him at the grave when he come back. He expressed that when he come back and found this home. All hopes was gone. Lazarus had died. Every hour they kept thinking he might come on the scene. He might come on the scene. He might come back. Finally he died. The breath left him. They went out, embalmed him, taking the blood from his body, wrapped him in linen, spices, and embalmed him and laid him into the grave. Put a rock over the grave, which is their custom of burying in them days, a hole in the ground, maybe in the rock, and lay a rock over the top of it. That was their custom. First day passed, second day passed, third day passed, fourth day passed. The man is already rotting in the grave. His nose is probably fell in that. I think that's the first thing it falls in, is the nose. And it is already rotten. His flesh has gone back to the dust as they're going back. His soul is 4 days' journey somewhere from him. All hopes of ever seeing him again in this life was gone. And then, when all hopes is gone, they've waited maybe if he'll come the first day, second day. No, then he died, he hadn't come. Then desperation set in. After a while, there was somebody must have told her, the master is outside. Here goes Martha down the street. Jesus came in that dark hour when every hope was gone. That's usually when he comes.
Yes,
he comes just at that darkest time. Then Jesus appears on the scene.
Yes.
Now what? He come and called for Martha. His presence brought new hopes. No matter if the boy was dead, yet his presence brings new hope.
Yes,
you might be sitting here tonight, my friend, with a doctor to give you a cancer, heart trouble. Maybe in a chair, crippled. All science has said there's no hope for you. The deposit of calcium is has knotted your bones that you can't bend them no more, or either your heart is so bad the doctor says you might go at any minute. Oh, and great bunch of the people with cancer and TB, maybe the last hope you've got. And it seems like that the doctor has turned you down. Yet to be in the presence and recognition of the presence of Jesus Christ brings hopes again. Somebody can even name it to you. Maybe you've never heard of it before. But let somebody say, I know where there is a church. They believe in God. And they pray for the sick. Quickly, now you're ready to die. See, new hopes spring up. It always does. That dark hour, that's usually when somebody says something about it. Tell you about Jesus. His presence brought new hope. May it do the same thing tonight, like it did last night, when we see that vindicated word beyond any shadow of doubt that's been made manifest and proved that Jesus that lived 1,900 years ago, that died on Calvary, rose up on the third day and appeared to those disciples and opened their eyes and made this promise of the day is right here tonight in our presence now. It's bound to bring hopes to people. New hopes flash up. Maybe somebody said the church has been kind of dry for a while. We haven't had any good fresh water for a few months. We haven't had a revival. Looks like everybody's so stagnant. Or something other, we just go to church and sing a hymn and hear a few messages and go back. But all of a sudden, then when we begin to get dry, then Jesus comes on the scene, freshens us up, brings something new to us. He's always there to do that. New hopes comes when Jesus comes in, His presence brings new hope. She knew that He was that manifested Word of God. She had seen that age, or she wouldn't, she'd still been Orthodox. She still belonged to the church, but she'd seen that promised Word. She'd seen that promised Word manifested by Him. And she knew that He was that living Word. And when she heard about it, she didn't care how many criticized her, what else, she took out for Him. It's as hard as she could go. She knew He was that manifested Word. No doubt what she'd read of the story of Elijah in his day. Now, he was God's manifested Word in that day. He was a prophet. And the Word of the Lord comes to the prophet. And there was a woman in there who had a little baby that had been given to her by a blessing that the prophet had blessed her by. And she had the child. One day about 11 o'clock, he must have had a sunstroke. He's out in the field with his father. The Bible doesn't say it was sunstroke. But he began to cry, my head, my head. About 11 o'clock today, and he had a servant, the father did, to take him to the house. He laid on his mother's lap till about noon, got sicker and sicker, and finally died. And now, instead of going in despair, all the neighbors come in screaming and going on, but a steady mother, her baby was dead. She took it up in that little room that she'd provided for the prophet and laid it up on his bed like that, and she said to the servant, saddle me a mule, and you ride straight, and don't you stop as I tell you to. That's it. We ain't got time for debating and fussing. This is past that day. Let's go on. We got to get there. We got a need. And so he said, you go forward. Don't you slack your riding unless I command you to. And they got to Elijah. Elijah being a man of God, not like Christ. Christ knew all things because he was God. Elijah was a portion of God. That was Christ in Elijah. And that was the message of the hour. For the word of the Lord for that hour was with that prophet. Jesus was the fullness of all those prophets. Every one of them only manifested Him. That's all. All the way from Joseph, from 30 pieces of silver. Everywhere he proclaimed Christ, so did Moses. David, sitting as a rejected king upon the hill, weeping because he was rejected. 800 years after that, the son of David sat on the hill. That was the spirit of Christ in David there. And he's both root and offspring of David. And so he sat up on the hill weeping as a rejected king. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how could I have heard you as the hymn would have root? What was it? It was Christ back there. It was Christ crying when David wrote the hymn, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All my bones, they stare at me. They pierce my feet and my hands. They parted my garments among them. They cast off for my vesture. That was Christ speaking in David.
Amen.
He was a manifestation of the Word. Christ come to fulfill them things that had been spoken by the prophets, because the Word was with the prophets. He said that in the lesson last night, that He come to fulfill what the prophets had said about Him, because they had the Word. And Elijah was God's prophet, the Word of that day. So the Shunammite woman stayed with that prophet until he come and manifested the power of God and laid itself upon the baby, and the baby come to life. Now, Martha must have recognized this, although she'd been busy taking care of a house, dishwashing and so forth. But there she showed her color. She showed really what was in her. She went to get him immediately. If God was in Elijah, God had to be in Christ.
Amen.
Because he had proved that he was that person.
Yes.
Amen. How like that determination. She goes to him. She had to get to him. And she find out there, as she got to him, knew him. Now remember, knew that he had never changed, that God never changes his program. If he was in Elijah and could raise the dead, he was in Christ and could raise the dead. No, he had not, because it's the same God. Neither has he changed yet. Just as much God tonight as he ever was. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. And he knew, she knew that it was in him. Watched just in a few minutes to prove it when she said something to him about her brother. And she said, Lord, I believe that you are. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I am. That's the I am was in the burning bush with Moses. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I was the one. I am still he. The resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. After this great assurance that she had, that he was the promised word, when he said, being a prophet, he could not lie. Therefore, when he said, I am the I am he that is the resurrection life. She said, I believe that you are the one, the Son of God, that was to come into the world. Although my brother's dead, laying out there in the grave, his body is decaying now, but even now, whatever you say, it'll come to pass. All she wanted was to hear him say it.
Amen.
Oh, Martha, where are we tonight? Just speak the word, my servant will live. Just hear him say it. They might have come told her he said it, but here he was himself. Oh, God, open blinded eyes that they might be able to see when he in his presence speaks the word. Always is manifested. She said, whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. Just let me hear. She wanted to say the word. That's all she wanted to hear. Just get the word. That's all she needed was hear him say he'd do it. And he would have done it right then. But to see by the vision that the Father had showed him, he had to be standing by the grave. Oh, my. Hold your faith. God's working everything right. It'll be all right. Just wait till she got to the grave. Notice, she could just get him to say it. Even when he was yet all hopes gone, all everything, he was dead, rotting in the grave, but just hearing say it's all she wanted. Now, when he said, I am the resurrection of life, she believed it. She believed it. Now notice, now she had to believe for the impossibles. When she heard him say, I am the resurrection of life, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Said, do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord. I believe it. I believe that you are the Son of God that was to come into the world. I like that. I like that. I've said this before. It might stand again now. I was talking to a woman not long ago at a certain church that I mentioned a while ago that doesn't believe that he was God, his deity. He was just a prophet, an ordinary man. He was that, truly. He was that plus God. See, he was the manifestation. Jesus is the body, the boy, the man. God was what dwelt in him. God was in him. He was a God-man. He was a man, yet he was a God manifested in flesh. When we see Jesus, we see God. That's what he said. When you see the Father, see me, you see the Father, because he was a reflection, because he was the Word. Amen. That was in the beginning.
Amen.
He called the prophets God. Do you know that? He said, you call them God, who the Word of God comes to you, how you condemn me when I am the Son of God. Because the same Word said it would be there, and there's the Word made manifest again. And still, they wouldn't believe it. This woman said to me, I can prove. She said, I like to hear you preach, but there's one thing you do too much. So I, what's that? Said, you brag too much on Jesus. I said, I hope that's all he has against me. And she said, I hope that's all he can, fault he can find in me. I said, if I had 10,000 tongues, I could not speak enough. Oh, my, what are you? She said, but you make him God. I said, he was. or if he wasn't, he's the greatest deceiver the world ever had. She said, he was a prophet. I said, he was a prophet. That's true. A God prophet. Yeah. The fullness of the Word. The prophet just had the Word come to him. That's what made him a prophet. But he was the fullness of that Word. Amen. And she said, I can prove. She said, you make him divine. I said, he was divine. And she said, he can't be divine. I said, but he was. She said, you said you believe the Bible. I said, I do. She said, I'll prove to you by your own Bible that he wasn't divine. I said, do it. If the Bible says so, then I'll believe it, because I believe the Word is right. Yeah. She said, on the road from down to Lazarus' grave, you remember that in St. John 11? I said, I certainly do, madam. Said, well, now on the road down, he cried. The Bible said he wept. I said, certainly the Bible said he wept. But how could he be divine and weep? I said, he was human. Human and divine. I said, yes, lady, you failed to see. He was a man going along there crying with those that were crying. That's right. Grieving with those who grieve. He was a man. But when he straightened his little frail body up and said, Lazarus, come forth! And a man had been dead 4 days, stood on his feet. That took more than a man. That was God in the man. Who can raise the dead but God? He is the resurrection and the life. Right. That night out on the sea, when he was out there tired, laying in the back of the boat, where 10,000 devils swore they'd drown him that night. And that little old boat flopping around like a bottle stopper out there on a stormy sea. And devils thought, we got him now, he's asleep, we'll sink the whole bunch. Oh, he was a man tired, but when once aroused, the spirit put up on the braille and looked up and said, peace be still, and the winds and the waves obey. He was a man when he was hungry. He'd come down off the mountain looking for a piece of bread or something to eat or a fig off of a tree. But when he took 5 biscuits and 2 fishes and fed 5,000, that was God in that man. Right. Oh, every man that's ever managed a hill of beans believe that. All the poets that believe that. No wonder one wrote, living he loved me and dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sin far away. Rising he justified freely forever. Someday he's coming, oh glorious day. And he proved who his songs would not sell. One day he staggered under the impact of the Holy Spirit, grabbed the pen. He wrote the inauguration song when he wrote, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem. Crown him, Lord of all. Certainly, that's what we believe he was. Yes, sir, she's got to believe for the impossibles now. To the modern thinking of that day, so do you have to believe for the impossible to see new life, to see something happen. But if she recognized him to be the Word, then the impossibles can take place because he is a creator and will stand by everything he said. And all things are possible to them that can believe. That's his Word. But the impossibles are made manifested when God is stuck in his Word. Yes, sir. When God's stuck in his Word, the impossibles are made manifest. When God says it'll be, then you take that Word and watch what the impossibles happen. It certainly will. But notice, even in all that, she said, even now, Lord, whatever you ask God, God will do it. She knew that she could just get that Word to come from him. That's all she needed to do, was get that Word. Yes, it was her darkest hour. And Jesus come along and called. Oh, what a thing they saw, a resurrection. Let's look at some more where the dark hours come. There was a man one time named Job, one of the oldest prophets in the Bible. He was a great man. He had loved the Lord, and he'd done all he knew how to do, and Satan desired to sift him. So he said to God one day, God said to him, brother, where have you been? Satan said, oh, walking to and fro and up and down on the earth. He said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. He's a perfect man. Oh, he said, sure, you give him everything, do everything for him. Certainly, he's a great man. But let me have him one time. I'll change the tune. I'll make him curse you to your face. He said, you can't do it. That's his confidence in a believer. Wow! He's infinite. He's eternal. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows Satan couldn't do it, for he is the Word. He knew what Job would do. I remember Job, he broke him out and borrowed, killed his children, took everything he's had, his health was gone. Even his comforters came, and they couldn't do nothing but just accuse him of being a secret sinner. And old Job got in such a place until he got so distressed. You have to get in distress first. You have to get to a time where you're at the end of the road. Job got into the end of the road when he said, cursed be the day that I was born. May the sun not even shine. And may the moon not shine with the night. May the name never be called. And in that distress, Then Jesus came along. He looked down and said, I see a flower die, it rises again in the spring. If a tree blows down, it comes up again through the scent of water. You've seen all bodily life living again, but it said, a man lays down. He giveth up the ghost. Where is he? He knew he was an old man. He said, his sons come to mourn over him, and he perceived it not. Oh, that thou would hide me in the grave and keep me in the secret place that thy wrath be past. Point me a time and set me a time. We went going on like that talking. He is at the end of his distress. What would happen? The leaves live, come back in the trees, the flowers come back again, everything else come up, but a man lays down. He gives up the ghost. He was in distress. He didn't know what could happen to him. And him at that age, when he did, then Jesus came along. God poured his head toward the sky, and he saw Jesus coming in the last day. That darkest of hours, when his wife said, curse God and die to death. Yet, he said, woman, thou speakest like a foolish woman. The Lord gave and the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even his wife turned him down. His church turned him down. Everybody turned him down. In that dark hour where he didn't know where he was going from there, Jesus came along. Then he screamed out, I know my Redeemer liveth. And at the last days he'll stand up on the earth and know as the skin worms destroys this body. Yet in my flesh shall I see God's righteousness. Amen. In his darkest hour, then Jesus come along. Yes, sir, Moses. For Moses, the darkest hour come for him in Israel. He was right in the line of duty. Met God up there in the bush and said, I am the I am. He went down and fought through all kind of impersonations of Jambres and Jambres, trying to impersonate his work. All this he stood true to God. He finally got Israel to believe that here he comes out of Egypt, going up to the promised land where God said, you worship me on this mountain. That was the word of God. Moses knew he had to go to that mountain.
Yes.
God said so.
Yes.
No Pharaoh can kill him.
Amen.
No devil can kill him.
Right.
Nothing can kill him. He's coming to that mountain.
Amen.
Amen. Coming.
Amen.
I feel religious.
Yes.
He's going to that mountain. So are we on a road to glory. Nothing's going to stop us. No. God's going to vindicate his word. I don't care what takes faith and go to do it in you.
Amen.
On his road, right in the path of duty. Here he is hemmed in between the mountains. He listens and hears a roar behind him. What is it? Pharaoh's chariots for the thousands. Coming armored with spears and things to ride him down and tramp him down. There's the Red Sea had him cut off. What did he do? He got distressed. The people all screaming, oh, we're in for it now. Pharaoh will kill us. The swords will be run through us. Our babies will die here in the wilderness. Moses cried out, oh, God! And then Jesus came on the scene.
Amen.
He was a pillar of fire. That's right. He come down and he hung between him and the danger. Amen. He's our go-between. He's the standing. Amen. A mediator. There he stood, standing there, darkness to the Egyptians, those who were coming to try to do something about it. He was light to them to walk by. And in the morning when the wind started blowing real hard that night, then what did he do? He had come in the form of the pillar of fire. Remember, he's still that pillar of fire. Yes, sir, when he was on earth, he said, I come from God and I go to God. And after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, St. Paul, on his road down to Damascus, he was struck down by that pillar of fire.
Yes.
Remember, he was a Hebrew. He would have not said this. He said, Lord, who are you? Capital L-O-R-D, Elohim. Who are you, that persecuted? He said, I'm Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the first and the last. A little while in the world sees me, more yet you'll see me. I'll be with you, even in you. The same killer of fire, the same God, doing the same thing with the same promise.
Amen.
Making his word manifested. I am the resurrection life. I'm he that was, he that is, and he that shall come. Yes, sir. Your fathers eat men in the wilderness. He said, they're everyone dead. But I am that I am. Moses in the burning bush, that was the I am. He's still the I am. Not I was, I am. Present tense, all time. We find out here that Moses is backed out in this corner. And Christ had come down. Now, the Bible said that Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. The reproach of Christ. Christ was the anointing, the Logos that went out of God. The angel. Any Bible reader knows that angel was Christ.
Yes.
And there he was in the wilderness, and he came on the scene in the form that he was supposed to be manifested in.
Yes.
Glory to God!
Hallelujah.
He comes to pay in the form of the same Christ.
Yes.
Manifested in.
told him he'd take them out. He was doing it. There he come to stand by his word to vindicate it. Then after he'd done come like he did to Martha, then he called. He said, Moses, why are you crying to me? Speak to this people as they go far. That dark hour, the Red Sea opened up and they went across.
Amen.
On their journey to fulfill the word of God. Yes, at Moses' darkest hour, then Jesus come along. We got time now, and he called Moses. We want to draw your attention to another little man. His name is Jairus. There's so many of them in the world today. He was a secret believer. He loved Jesus. He'd heard about him. He believed him. But you see, he had already joined himself to an organization.
He couldn't come out and confess it. He believed it, but he couldn't confess it. So he had done joined up with the unbelievers. But he really believed it. So when a man gets in that shape, sometimes God brings him to this showdown. It's in distress when we really show our colors what we really are. So there was, he's already joined up to the unbelievers. He done went over and put his name on the book and so forth, and he was a priest. And so he just couldn't hardly make a confession because that was a meal ticket. So, but he still believed Jesus. One day his little girl got sick. All my, no doubt, a man like that would call the doctor. Physician come, attended to the child. Her fever got worse and worse. After a while she got so hot and everything, she finally got to the point of death. He was in distress. He had to do something. He just didn't know what to do. Now, he thought, if I could only find him wherever he is. Now, he never waited until it got nighttime, like Nicodemus did to have a private interview. Time was for action. The time had come for action, and he must act then.
Amen.
I think, brother, sister, the same is now. The time has come for action.
Amen.
The time has come to believe or don't believe.
Amen.
That separating line comes to every man and woman. It comes to every child. Sometimes when you pass that line, there's only one thing left, that's judgment. When you pass between mercy and judgment, when you pass that line, remember he got in distress. He didn't know what to do. There stood his priest, all the rabbis standing around him. The fellowship was with him. All down there watching his little girl die. The doctor standing on the outside with his hands full and shaking his hands. I'll give every medicine I know. And still, see, it was Jesus working all the time. Jesus is doing this for a purpose, to bring the color out of that little fellow. After a while, I see him go get his little black hat and pull it off, put his little priest coat on. Where are you going? I'm hurrying down the river. I'm going after him. Oh, my. Where he went? In that hour of distress, he had to make a decision. Let his child die, or he knows that was a manifestation of the Word. He was a priest, and he had read the Word. And he knew that that was God's manifestation. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He knew that. And he was forced to the issue. He had to make a mistake. Let his child die, or make his confession. When he got in that distress, it was about that time that Jesus came along. He went to see him. He said, I'll go with you, whatever you say. And on the road, here come a runner. The dog saying there and made his confession. And he believed him. He'd done excommunicate himself and put himself in public eyes then that he was a believer on Jesus. And here come a runner and said, don't bother nobody because your girl's already died. She died yesterday. She's already dead. Don't fool with it no more. And his little heart likes to fail, but he looked and seen those eyes of Jesus and said, didn't I save you? Don't fear if you want to see the glory of God.
Amen.
You're scared about him. I already told you I would go.
Amen.
He's already said he would come. He's already said he'd do this, and here he is doing it.
Amen.
Amen. He favored us on the scene of the last day and do these things that he did, as we read last night and talked. Here he is doing it. What are you scared about? Remember, when he came and he called her from the dead. He came on the scene and called her from the dead.
Yeah.
Old blind Bartimaeus one time hit his darkest hour. Jesus was down there organizing a full gospel business man breakfast down there in Jericho. And he had Zacchaeus down there. He met him in a tree down the street. So when he wouldn't organize anything else, I'm sure. See? So then when he come down there, he had him, Zacchaeus, he went with him. Old blind Bartimaeus had been blind since his little boy. So he thought Jesus might come out that gate, and he was waiting. After a while, he heard a lot of noise and everybody coming by, and he heard the priest say, Hey, you! You're going up the hill there! Did we hear that you raised the dead? We got a whole graveyard full of them up here. If you be the Messiah, come up here and raise these dead. You know that same devil still there?
Yeah.
In a form of religion, the same way. If you be the Messiah, you raise the dead. We got a graveyard full of them up here. Come, oh, everybody screaming one horn, Hosanna to the prophet, another horn, this, that, the other. Such a confusion. This old blind man go, oh, I missed him. He come out down there and I thought he'd come here. I've been put in the wrong place. And he got to scream. He thought if he is the Word, he's God, he's got to be. So, oh, Jesus, oh, Son of David, have mercy on me. In that hour of distress, he called out. Now, Jesus, if you'll mark him, here was the Jericho, where they said he was sitting, he was 150 yards from where Jesus was, with thousands of people rushing around him. He couldn't have heard that man cry. No, but he felt it.
Amen.
He stopped.
Amen.
I want to preach one of these nights, and then Jesus stopped. Oh, and then Jesus stooped. Oh, but when Jesus stopped, what was it? He called me. The Master has come. Don't be weary, said the disciples. He calls thee. He's calling you. Call him out from that crowd. He does the same thing now. Does it soak in? The Master has come and called for you. And he's calling from blindness to life. For you. And when he called him, he gave him back his sight. The little woman with the blood issue one time up on the hill had spent all of her money with the doctors. She no doubt had sold the team, that sold the farm, had it mortgaged, they spent all they could with the physician. None of them done her any good. She constantly got worse and worse. The blood wouldn't stop. Constantly on and on it went. She got deeper and deeper. And one day, while sitting there knitting up on the hill from where she lived, she looked down into the valley and she seen a boat come in. Everybody began to run, Hosanna to the prophet. She heard about him. Faith comes by hearing. Now she said, I'll go down and get a look at him. And when she walked down there, she first got a sight of the Word of God manifested in flesh. There's something about his talk and his look that she knows that was him.
Yes, sir.
Oh! If I could only attract his attention in some way, if I could only touch him in some manner, and she slipped through the crowd and she touched his garment. Now remember, it wasn't her finger that he fell. No, sir, because the Palestinian garment hangs loose. And Peter said, everybody said, he said, but this is the difference. I perceive that I have gotten weak. Jesus had come. Her body was gone. Everything was gone, but in that dark hour when the blood wouldn't stop and the doctors couldn't stop it, Jesus coming, what did he do? He called.
Amen.
Looked around until he found her, and he said, you had a blood issue, but it stopped. He's the same, yesterday, today, forever. Master has come.
And he calls for you. He's come and he called. He called her back to health. The little woman at the well that we spoke of last night, all hopes is gone. Perhaps maybe her fifth husband had left her and she just took the sixth one that night and she was a little doubt about him. Morally, she was gone. She wanted to be a real lady. She, no doubt she had been reading the Bible. And she was going along there, going up about 11 o'clock. She couldn't come early in the morning when the righteous women come. And they packed their water up on their head and the jugs and went back down. So she couldn't come mixed with them. They had a segregation of that and that day. The right and wrong didn't mix together. The immoral stayed in their place. So she couldn't come with the rest of them. They wouldn't let her come. So after everybody got their waters and went back, she come for better. And then she come up there with this pot on her head. No doubt she's going on thinking, now the man that I married got a hold of last night, I'm doubting him. He's a man. He acts with money. I just don't know about him. I haven't got a chance. I'm ousted from society. And I can't go to those churches. They don't. Just look at him. I don't know what to do. I'm in distress. And I've been reading the Bible. Surely someday that prophet will come on the scene. I know they claim that there is no such a thing in this. So maybe 100 years off and 1,000 years off. We've been looking for it for thousands of years. It's never happened yet. So we ain't looking for it now. Everything's so long. Oh, no, we got churches and things. We don't need nothing like that now. So, it's just along there thinking, you know, when you think about him, that's when he appears to you. Like we had last night when he was on the road to him, and when she thought of those things, she heard a man say, bring me a drink. What about in her darkest of hours when her morals is gone? Maybe a pretty little lady, been turned on the street to live at. Sometimes it's not the little girl's fault, it's her parents' fault. They let her get out like that, and there she was, maybe her little curls all hanging down. She was depleted, going along, weary, and nobody had anything to do with her. A child,
maybe a big story behind it. Anyhow, I know one thing. She had read the Bible, and she believed the Bible. And there was a little seed laying down in her heart that says, if it ever happens, I'll know it. She was predestinated to that. Look at that old Judas standing there and acting like what he did. He was black down the bottom of his heart. The light was shining up here in his works. But down in his heart, he didn't believe it. And here she was. See, the light couldn't get down to that. But here she was, believed. She believed it, but her life was blacked out. When the light struck, it took the blackness out. Amen. But when the light struck up here, it blacked it all over. That's the difference. See, she was born for that purpose. She said when he told her how many husbands she had, what happened? She got all at once excited like. She got in distress. She said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. I know that when the Messiah cometh, he'll do these things. Amen. Yeah. Then he called her. Then he called her, I'm he. He didn't speak with you. Yeah. She recognized it by the word of God. He called her from her sins to a life, and her name is in the Bible, and she's got immortal life today. He can call you the same way because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
So, yeah, her morals was gone, but still, she knew that he had that discernment. She knew that that had to be the Messiah. Then, when Jesus said, I am he, she knew that was. One time the disciples was out on the boat, all hopes is gone, the storms had went away without Jesus. The storms was just like it was at Lazarus' house. All hopes is gone, the little old boat had waterlogged it. They were screaming and crying, maybe praying and going on. The lightning, a flashing, and the boat filled up with water. The mast poles dropped down, the oars broke, and they were holding one another crying. And in that real darkest of hour, then Jesus come walking along. But he looked like a shadow to them. He looked scary, like a spirit. And they cried out with fear. That's what's the matter today. Jesus comes in an hour, your dark hour, and you're afraid of it.
Yes.
You don't know what it is. They didn't know what he was. They said, oh, it's the Spirit. They're screaming. And then he called and said, fear not, it is I.
Yes.
In the darkest of hours, Jesus come along to help. That's what he always does, comes in the darkest of hours. Then Jesus came and manifested himself and come to them. Peter said, if it be you, bid me come on water. Jesus said, come on. You know what, friends? Soon he will come for those in this last day. Now, it is strange that the church has got in this dark hour again. I'm going to say something here. It's not a doctrine. I'm just prophesying. You know what's happened? It's going to come to a place soon, mark my words, that all denominations are going to have to join the ecumenical council. If they don't, they can't have the support of the council. Therefore, there'll be a boycott, and nobody can go to these churches or go to any churches unless you have a mark from your own church you cannot buy or sell. You see it just as it was, so it's going to be again, a mark unto the beast. And the church, you're realizing that spiritual people, and you Pentecostal people and rock are recognizing it. You begin to feel it. Well, your churches, many of the organizations of the Pentecost, and I don't have to call your names, but you know, right now, they're coming into it. They've done witness that they were. And when you do that, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to forfeit your evangelical teaching of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to forfeit your doctrine of the Bible. And the members is not going to stand for it.
Amen.
Real born-again Christians on the first. They're born by the Word. They know this thing's coming. Yes, sir. And isn't it strange that right in this dark as of ours, then Jesus comes along and calls us, said, don't get scared, it's me, I'm still with you, I'm here to manifest my word. As he was then, so is he now. He said he would do that. Oh my, the Master has come and has called for us. Many sick people here, no doubt, that are sitting here, and the doctor has told you there's no hope for you. You may be in your darkest of hour, but remember, the Master has come and called for you. And someday, the Master is going to come and call for every name, as wrote on the Lamb's Book of Life. If yours are not there, get it on there now, for he's going to come and call even those that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth to life. The Master will come and call for you. And while he's calling today, answer and make preparations for that day is my advice to you. The promise of this age, he promised he would be here. The things that he did, he would do again. And now, again, the Master has come and calls for you. Let us bow our heads. I got about six more pages here, but I can't get through that now. Let's bow our heads. I promise to let you out early and already quarter after. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, let it happen again. All these things that I've said, Jesus has come and calls for thee. What does he do when he comes? He calls. Let it happen again, Lord. Let thy Holy Spirit come among the people tonight. The Lord Jesus in the form of the Spirit. Let him come tonight and reveal himself. And then manifest himself like those people, how they believe. We will believe also, Lord. There's many here maybe have never had this opportunity. We pray that you'll grant it to them again tonight. For we ask this, the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it, Sister Ruth. Let's go ahead with that. That's fine. Go right ahead. Oh, you're quiet, everybody. Do you believe that he has come? He has. Does he still call when he comes? Now, if you just only believe, if you just believe the Word of God, God will grant. Now, look, I haven't got time to call prayer right up here. I'm going to call him tonight out there, if the Lord's willing. The Master has come. He's come to fulfill his word in the last day. And what he was then, he is today. What his manifestation or identification was then, it is today because he's still the Word of God. Do you believe that? And the Word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of heart, the way he did then, the way he always did. He is still the same. If he would do that in the town, would you believe him? Would it make you believe him? You people out there now, let me look first and see if there's anybody that I know sitting anywhere in here that I know. All that's around up in here that don't know me, raise up your hand. You know what I don't know about you? Here's the raise up your hand. I guess everybody. All right? Now, you believe. You just believe with all your heart. Now, have faith. Believe God. I'm going to ask you to be a real quiet. Be seated. We're stir around. Believe God. See, you are a soul, body, and spirit. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit is real human. How many remember many years ago that the Holy Spirit, when I come by here, told you, when I take the people by the hand, he told me this discernment would come and then go on. You remember? Remember that? But he said, if you get the people to believe you. Remember that day, many years ago? You got to believe it. I see a man, I believe it was down there at the other meeting, sitting right there, and the Holy Spirit had been watching when I was preaching. He was a cripple man. He had crutches on his arm. And just when I started to make the call, Satan come to the man, a black shadow, and I watched it with my own eyes. He got up and walked out. He'll always be crippled, see? And so, he worried about him right there. He just see? I don't know why, I guess he didn't listen to the enemy. But if you stand and watch those shadows, see those things and forms the way they are and watching how they do, see? It would be. Now, I cannot heal. The man that tells you he can heal you, he's wrong. You're already healed. But it's recognizing the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, if Martha knew that if she could see him again, that she'd get her desire because he was the manifested word. Can't we believe that much tonight to believe it? Sure, we ought to. He has come. He's come. He's come in the form of the Holy Ghost. That's who he is. Now, you just pray. See up here, I had somebody standing here right here by me. You just praying. You see so many people praying. It's all over the building. You just have to watch. You can't say, Brother Brad, don't you? I shouldn't do it. No more you can dream me a dream. See, you might think, I could have you dream a dream of me. You believe that. But you can't do it yourself. You can't say, Brother Brad, I'm going to dream a dream of you. Now, no, you can't do that. Neither can I see a vision. Everyone gives a dream to you. That's one has to do it. Same way it is my vision. See a man sitting right here at the end of the road with arthritis. If he'll believe with all of his heart, God will heal him with arthritis. You believe he'll do it, sir? Sitting out there at the Mexican man sitting at the end of the road, will you believe it?
and arthritis. The lady sitting next to you, she also has arthritis too. You believe God will heal you, lady? Is this got a rebound to it? I'm afraid that people don't hear it. You will? All right. How about the other little Mexican lady sitting by her? She suffers with a stomach trouble. You believe God will heal your stomach, lady? She got it. When I see that light go down, that means it happened. That's it. It struck her. There it was swirling all around. That when he can find faith, many things he could not do because of their unbelief. Here's the lady putting her brain in the morning. She's scared. She should be. She's got a cancerous condition. Real mad. I don't know you. But God knows you. You believe that God can tell me about the cancer or something other? Look at me. And so many are praying. This is what I'm standing for. Look at us. Now, yes, you're not from here. This is not your home. You're from a place called Porterville, California. Do you believe God can tell me who you are? You know, your name is Mrs. Wyndham. That's right. Now believe that can't show me.
Hallelujah.
If thou canst believe, that's all God asks you to do. If thou canst believe. Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody in this section in here, can't you believe? The Master has come and called for you. He's calling you from death to life. From sickness to health. Here's a man sitting right back here, head down praying. He's really not praying for himself. He's praying about somebody else. It's a girl. It's his daughter. You believe, sir? You got trouble with your leg. You got trouble with your knee. That's right. No need to weeping. That's him, that guy. Your daughter is in a hospital, isn't she? Tuberculosis case. You believe? You believe the Master has come and called for her? Will you believe it, Father? You will? May he visit her tonight, and you may be over. Here's a little boy, little brown-faced boy. He's suffering with a skin disease and asthma. A Mexican boy, he isn't from here. He's from San Jose. You believe, son? Another thing, your father's here with you. He's a minister. That is right. You believe God can tell me what your name is? Will you make you believe? Real strong? Your name is Reuben. Now believe.
Praise the Lord.
The Master has come and he calls for you. Oh, sinner. Oh, sick person. Don't you see the Master manifesting in the human being between believers? He's come to call his believing children to health. He's come to call the sinner to repentance. Backslider, church member, the Master has come and called for you. Do you believe it? Do you believe it for your need right now? If you do, raise up your hand and say, I believe for my need. Then raise up on your feet now and accept it. The Master has come and calls for thee. And whoever you are, whatever need you have for, the Master has come and he calls for you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That little woman went into the city and said, come see a man who told me what was wrong. You didn't go into the city. You come and see it yourself. Well, the Master has come and called for thee. Raise up your hand and raise it and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I'm a backslider. Take me back, Lord. I need the Holy Ghost. Heal me. I'm sick. Heal me. I'm crippled. Make me well. The Master has come and called for thee. Raise up your hand now and give him praise. Amen. Give us the Lord for your praise. You know, you believe?
I will praise him. I will praise him. Oh, praise.
Don't you love to sing to him while he's here? He's the Spirit moving around in the building. He knows your heart. He knows all about you. Let's sing it to him with all of our heart.
I will praise him.
Raise your hands when you do it.
I
just praise him.
Praise him. Oh, praise the Lamb for sinners.
Death hangs around you like flies.
say, how do I know he's using my voice? If he uses my voice to tell sickness, afflictions, and things, don't you know he's calling also for sin? Come out! Come now! This may be the last opportunity you'll ever have. Once more, this morning you ought to come, friend. I don't want to embarrass you to call you out like this. That's not right.
You
sometimes maybe embarrassed me, thought they were saved, but they wasn't. You're thinking the same thing. Come now, be sure. Don't just take a halfway chance on it. Just go on down of your mind. Don't take no chance. Come on down, out of the now, while the fountain's open, while the Holy Spirit is here, the Master has come. That little